This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. And we are joined by a visionary of our community, Lucas Pyatt, Chief Executive Officer of Pyatt Companies and Pyatt Sotheby's International Realty. Lucas, good morning.
Hey, Larry. How you doing? Good morning.
I'm very good. I'm excited on so many different levels about what's going on in the region. And before we get into this wonderful show that you have been doing for many years now, Rock and Reggae Relief, it's a great family show, and it's a fun night. But I want to ask you about where you are with Esplanade, this 15-acre expansion of along the river just beyond Rivers Casino. How do you stand in terms of getting this thing underway?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a really good place. We've received all of our TRID financing votes, which helps fill the gaps and helps us do the affordable housing in the project and a lot of the infrastructure that's heavily needed in that area. So everything's moving forward towards the fall closing. So, and a fall groundbreaking, really. So finally, after 10 years of hard work, we're making great progress, and we'll be putting shovels in the ground here shortly.
I always have to give men and women who have the vision to see beyond. I think about those days when Pittsburgh was just the smoky steel town that we still have roots in, but somebody imagined that we could be so much better. And I applaud you because you're one of those people that saw the underutilized river, and you're going to make this a destination place.
We deserve it. We deserve it to have one of the best riverfronts in the country. And I think we can, and I think this project will be a beacon for that.
Lucas, I'm curious to know, what you start out with as a plan and then what you wind up with later oftentimes changes along the way. And so I'm curious to know if there are some changes that are taking place as we move closer to getting shovels in the ground.
Well, when we started the project, we were super aspirational about what we could build. And frankly, we could have built a lot more back then because the prices weren't what they are now and the cost to build and interest rates and things of that nature. So we have scaled back some of the, we'll call it architecture. But really, at the end of the day, the project looks on a rendering just like it, pretty much like it did, when we first started. There's been changes along the way that, we're influenced by things like COVID and the pandemic and the way that changed kind of the way that people live, i.e., say, office space, the amount of office space we had in the project, which we have less of now. But we still have the opportunity because we're seeing that, great, high-quality office space still is in demand. So we do have that in the project, but it's not as prominent as it was. The project on a rendering and the project in real life is going to look world-class. It's going to look just like the vision we had. Probably not going to have a 35-story condo building like we did originally, though. So we wanted to start, as aspirational as possible, and then, obviously there is a reality of what you can afford to build. But that's where we're at, and it's going to look amazing. It's going to really be a world-class project.
Yeah, give us kind of the elevator pitch on what, amenities you will have. I heard someone say the other day, hey, I hear we're getting a Ferris wheel downtown.
Yeah.
Is that still happening?
That's the thing that is definitely still part of the project. It's going to be an amazing wheel, an observation wheel that overlooks the point and back to downtown and up the Ohio River and see sunsets. And it's going to be just a great opportunity to showcase like innovation in this region, which we're having lots of conversations about innovation right now. That's going to continue. The Ferris invention happened really in Pittsburgh, and Ferris lived and died in Pittsburgh, so it makes a lot of sense for us to do that. And do it as a way that's going to showcase this project as a beacon, just from a location standpoint. If I asked a lot of people here, probably your listeners even, and said, what's Chateau, where's Chateau? A lot of people probably wouldn't know what Chateau was. There's only about 13 people that live in that actual neighborhood, technically. So it's really underutilized riverfront that's going to be remade into recreational, to housing, both condos, both high-end apartments, and also affordable apartments. We have incredible retailers that we're going to bring into the project, restaurants, entertainment, music, all the great things that attract people to a project. We have we're going to have the best marina in the city that's going to be just world class and be a place that you can dock your boat and walk in and have great meals and great entertainment and really enjoy the riverfront. Improving the trail, handling, you know, obviously all of the parking that we need within the project. But in the first phase, we're going to have about 300 units of housing. We'll have about 100 condominiums that will start to pre-sale. That'll be right on the river there. And it continues to grow. So we'll probably have about 1,000 units on the project at the end of the day, almost creating a new neighborhood along the Chateau area.
You know, Lucas, with all the growth in housing in the Golden Triangle and now on the North Shore, as a former downtown resident, something that I really would have liked to have had, and we just really didn't in that area, was walkability to groceries. Are there any plans?
You know, I neglected to say that.
Are there any plans for that? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, that is a huge part of our first phase, is to bring food, prepared foods, and grocery in phase one of the projects. We're talking to multiple grocers right now. That area is really, truly a food desert, and it's important for us to make sure that we deliver on that. So we are talking to several operators there to bring in something that will fill that need.
We're with Lucas Pyatt, and now let's shift gears. The Pyatt Family Foundation presents Rock, Reggae, and Relief August 2nd at Stage AE. This was your brainchild that you started, and really it started in the streets right around Market Square outside your Revel and Roost.
Yeah, you know, when we finished the building, Tower 260 on Forbes Avenue there, we wanted a way to kind of like bring back that street and kick it off, because it was off, really, it was closed for so long while we were under construction. So we partnered up with our tenants, one of them being Parada, which was the Latin or the Caribbean restaurant. And we came up with a street festival called Rum, Rock, and Reggae. We started that. It wasn't really a nonprofit at that point in time. But then we decided that we really wanted to grow this as a nonprofit, and really is kind of the heart of our nonprofit at the Pyatt Family Foundation, is producing events that give back to the community. So it scratches the itch that I love to entertain and love to, showcase our city and showcase music and new artists. And heck, if we can give back at the same time, how incredible is that, right? So we started with a small street party. It got pretty big. It frankly got a little too big. And then we decided we were going to move it last year to Stage AE, which was absolutely an incredible event. We had over 3,000 people, and I think we're going to be on par for that this year. But we've made it even bigger, because the one thing about going to Stage AE is we kind of lost a little bit of the festival vibe. It became more of like a concert. So we said this year we're going to make sure we can bring back that city kind of festival vibe, and we've opened a place called Chillville, which will be in the project, and that will be like a vendor village. We'll have 7 food trucks. We're going to have, henna and face painting, and I think we even have a fortune teller coming in. So it's going to kind of have a lot of cool festival vibes that we kind of lost last year. So we're excited about bringing that in. I do believe there's an incredible food truck called Yin's Dogs coming in. I heard a story about that.
We know a guy.
So we're super excited about it. It's going to be really, truly our biggest year ever. And my gosh, you know, having not one but 2 Marleys, true reggae royalty, as our headliners, we're super honored about having them here. And I'm really selecting our festival to be headliners on. It's going to be a great day. You're going to hear a little bit of Damien, a little bit of Steven. You're going to hear a lot of Bob Marley tunes that they do as well. So it's really going to be, you know, the reggae festival of the year here in Pittsburgh.
Including Uprooted with Michael Balicki of Rusted Root, Roots of Creation. Rock, yep. Reggae, and Relief, August 2nd at Stage AE. And who's it benefiting this year, Lucas?
Yeah, this year it's going to benefit Manchester Craftsman's Guild Youth Program, MCG Youth. It's a great arts program that runs to city school students and supports the Manchester Chateau community.
All right, get your tickets now, Lucas Pyatt. More to come. Thanks for the time this morning, and good luck.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it very much. Enjoy this beautiful day, y'all.
You got it. Lucas, CEO of Pyatt Industries. I'll tell you, he is a visionary.
Well, to hear that there's a grocery store in plans for the Esplanade, well, that's like the cherry on top of the sundae right there.
That made you happy. Yeah, yeah. This is going to be a game-changing, and like he said, you're just basically building a whole new neighborhood of the city. CEO, good morning.
Good morning.
What's trending tea?
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
What a shock. 54 years old and such a popular young man. Could you imagine?
Literally, I'm tearing up as we have this conversation. Seriously.
Paul and I were just talking about the fact the Cosby Show in its day, five straight years, was the number one show on television.
Absolutely.
And so people knew this young man who had stardom, and he had used his platform to help fight racism, among other things.
Absolutely. And this is a show that my brothers and sisters, my family, we kind of grew up on. We looked at the Huxtables, like that was the family, like parents that were working. And it was like, this is what I wanted to be, outside of no other shows at that particular time that showed parents that were like hardworking. Like, right. I lived for that show. Like, I watched it consistently, and to hear something like this happen is just devastating to me, to know that we had something growing up as a young Black woman, teenager, child. We looked forward to seeing something that is like, I know this is what I want to be. I can be. And I am just so devastated by this. Larry, it's unbelievable. I mean, he spoke the word. He talked positivity. Even like, there was a video circulating he circulated a video and he spoke positivity.
He had a welcoming demeanor in the way he spoke.
Exactly.
He was genuine.
He was very genuine.
And that said, what happened? He was in Costa Rica vacationing.
He was Costa Rica vacationing and got swept up in a wave.
Tide that was pulling him out.
I was reading that there were two people there. Was another male as well that was involved in that. One was taken to the hospital when they got Malcolm Jamal Warner there. He was unsuccessful. They were unsuccessful trying to revive him. But, I mean, we talk about this consistently. We tell these stories, and these stories are so devastating. But I also think we need to actually talk about in some way, shape, or form, because he's not the first person that died this way. I mean, I look at it all the time and say, people say, when you go to the beach, and I'm a beach person, I travel a lot, but I don't know how to swim. And not saying that if I knew, because I'm sure he did, if that would have changed things. But these are the things that we have to talk about.
You
we
don't expect that to happen in a vacation scenario like that, just going to the beach.
Yeah, but so. I walked around the newsroom yesterday and I asked in the newsroom, I don't know how to swim.
Rob Taylor doesn't know how to swim.
Pat doesn't know how to swim. I'm sure. I think I asked Aaron as well. But it's like, these are the things that you take lightly, you don't think about, but they hit you hard. And I'm devastated in seeing something like this happen. It's crazy.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to follow up just out of curiosity. I'm curious how many people do know how to swim. What's the percentage?
Yeah.
All right, Tamara. Thank you.
You're welcome.
From the P.J. Fitzpatrick home in St. Vincent College in La Trobe, last hour we had the cheat code, the do's and don'ts if you plan to go, whether you've ever been to Steelers training camp or if you have in the past. It's a little different in terms of they're going back to what they used to do with the practice times, Aaron. 1:55 starting on Thursday, open to the public, but you got to have a ticket. It's free, but you go to Steelers.com, they'll hook you up that way with a mobile ticket. The sooner you get on, and the better, to make sure you got a spot. Have you ever been? I didn't ask you. Steelers training camp?
I have gone to Steelers training camp one time.
Okay.
And I was a camp counselor, so I believe I was probably 15, 16, and it was an exhilarating experience. I did shake hands with Ben, Big Ben. And you know, it's so fun. He's spot on. You know, everyone you spoke to the last hour, it's just exciting being in that environment.
Yeah, and you can listen back if you have our free Audacy app, AUDACY. You have a rewind feature, and we also, you can go to kdkradio.com and listen that way. Michael Burch, who is the assistant communications director for the Steelers organization, a lot of good information. Yesterday, the team released the throwback uniforms they're going to use when they host the Packers at the end of October. And it's an homage to 1933, the year the Steelers were formed with owner Art Rooney, the chief. And just curious, did you see the new unis? I know you did.
I saw them.
Is Ellen around? Ellen, did you take a good look?
Sorry. They're not the bumblebees. They're better than the bumblebee, mm-hmm. as they call them. So, yeah.
Yeah, so if you remember a few seasons ago, I don't know exactly how many, they had what affectionately became the bumblebees. Some people loved them, some people didn't. If you're a traditionalist, you're thinking, wow. But I noticed, I went back to the history of the uniform and saw the actual first jerseys in particular. Oh. And what they came up with this throwback uniform is really an amalgamation of that. It's mm-hmm. not exact. So they tried to spiff it up, but they have a gold helmet with a black stripe down the middle. Obviously, Steelers logo on only one side of the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, being that I'm colorblind, I'm relying on you two to tell me what the rest of the colors are like. So there's obviously gold and black in the jersey.
Yeah.
With big, bold white letters. And there's kind of that bumblebee thing, but not totally.
Aaron, I wanted to ask you, so the beigey pants, yes or no? Oh, you like them?
No. I am so, probably the same reaction as you and everyone else. I don't understand their thought process behind the beige pants. I don't get it.
Please tell me what color those socks are. I'm looking at it now, and again, since I'm colorblind, I have no idea.
They look to be the same color as the jerseys, that same yellow.
Oh.
Right, Ellen?
Yeah.
It's not
the same. So I have matching issues. I'll own that. So the fact that it doesn't coordinate with either the pants or the top exactly, that's just me. That's not.
Wait a minute. You grew up with Garanimals too?
I did. Yes, sir. Oh my gosh. Hey, you know what, Larry? You mentioned that you had looked up what the original jerseys looked like. I do love about this new version of the throwbacks that they have the City of Pittsburgh crest on it. That's cool.
Yes. So 866-391-1020. Just curious what people think of the throwbacks. And again, they will be utilized against the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, one of the original NFL teams. So there's that intrigue, NFC, AFC. And that'll be at the end of October at Acrisure Stadium. So they have Pat Freiermuth modeling. One of the shirts.
I'm really anticipating some calls, just doing like a fire round. Do you like it? Yes or no?
Yeah, let's do that. 866-391-1020. We'll take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll hear what you think about the new unis.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk, in Allegheny County Jail corrections officer is suspended and accused of recording a video with racist language.
To know that this person was responsible for keeping them safe in that facility and he had these horrible, disgusting views, it's disappointing to me. I'm happy that it got out there, that we now know how he's been thinking this whole time.
That is County Council member Bethany Hallam reacting to that video. The jail says an investigation is underway.
And if it is what it appears to be, it doesn't really matter whether he was employed when the video was made or not. That kind of leads you to a issue with somebody might have with people he has to work with.
Costa Rican authorities say actor Malcolm Jamal Warner, best known as Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, was the victim of an accidental drowning Monday. Bill Cosby said he called co-star Felicia Rashad after getting the news.
We were embracing each other over the phone about a dearly beloved friend.
What a tragedy. Just 54, Malcolm Jamal Warner, in a time when, as you pointed out, Paul, The Cosby Show for 5 straight years was the number one television program.
And it was also on Thursday nights, Larry, in an NBC-owned Thursday night. You had Family Ties, Night Court, Hill Street Blues. What a lineup.
And didn't they have Seinfeld eventually?
Well, that came later.
Yeah, yep. But I mean, they were rolling for many years.
Unbelievable. Speaking of rolling, last night at PNC Park,
Paul Skeens was brilliant once again. Monday night, he pitched 6 innings of 3-hit shutout ball, struck out 6. He got the win.
He did, and that's the key. As well as he has pitched, this is his first win since May 27th. He's the best pitcher in baseball.
But he's not getting run support, except for last night he did. His ERA, by the way, with that shutout, is now the major league best, 1.91.
And here's the crazy part of baseball. They lost to the worst team, the Chicago White Sox, 27-7 in 3 games.
Yeah, I think that there's only one team that's worse than the White Sox. That'd be the Rockies, I think.
Yeah, but that's in the other
division. But, I mean, these guys are right down at the bottom of the barrel.
And that was their first sweep of the season here on the road. And then you play one of the best teams in baseball and shut them out.
Go figure.
Who knows? But thank God for Paul Skeens. A week ago, took a little ride out to Bowser's Subaru. The team there invited us to take a look at the 150 new Subarus they have in stock right there on the grounds. And a couple of the opportunities you have with Bowser's Subaru's summer sales event, the 2025 Legacy Premium lease for $299 a month or 3.9% APR, or how about the Crosstrek Limited? Symmetrical all-wheel drive is all Subarus have. They invented it. Lease for $285 a month or 1.9% available. You can see at BowserSubaru.com, all the details, or better yet, go and take a test drive. Bowser Subaru, Route 51 South, on top of the hill.